Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." John's gospel is beautiful. Almost at the beginning, in chapter 2, he tells a story. He tells a story of Jesus' very first miracle. He records Jesus standing there at a wedding in the city of Cana. And the crowd's enthusiastic. It's a momentous occasion. There's a joy in the air. And then he tells us about the problem. The wine runs out. Which is a very embarrassing thing, especially for the Jewish family and their rite of marriage, to begin your marriage with this momentous occasion and then the wine to run out. So there Jesus stands, and his mother comes up to him, tells him to fix it. So Jesus has these six large stone jars, and he has them filled with water. And he tells some servants to take it to the master of the feast. And you have to wonder what the servants were thinking as they're taking this water to the person in charge of the wedding. And John records that when the master of the feast tasted the water that had now miraculously become wine, he did not know where it came from. And he quickly calls the bridegroom and he says to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and after people have drunk freely, well, then they serve the poor wine. But you have saved the good wine until now." The word he uses for good is kalos. It means good. It means praiseworthy, beautiful. It's the same word Jesus referred to himself last week when he said he was the kalos shepherd, the good shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the praiseworthy shepherd. You have saved the praiseworthy wine until now. The wine Jesus gives is praiseworthy. It's unlike anything of this world. The world, it has good wine and it has poor wine. Two buck chuck at Trader Joe's in St. Louis. It's only $2. Or the wine over at Aldi, it's $2.49. It's not bad. But compared to the Newport wine that my brother brings back from New Zealand, it's poor wine. Because that Newport wine is so very good. I remember the last time I got to take a taste of it, actually. He brings it over by the case, and I mean, the bottles are 8 ounces. They're real small. And we drink it on momentous occasions. And the last time I got to take a taste of that wine was the night I was installed and ordained to be your pastor, nearly 3 years ago now. It's been too long since I've had that wine. Compared to Trader Joe's, or the Aldi wine, that wine was really good. And the Trader Joe wine, very poor. The world has good wine, some really good wine, and the world also has poor wine. But the wine Jesus creates is called praiseworthy. It's out of this world, tasted nothing better. I've got to have this kind of wine. The master of the feast tasted it, and he did not even know where it came from. If only he had known. If only he had known where it came from. He would have ran to Jesus and begged at his feet, "Give me this wine always." Just like the woman at the well, when Jesus says he's the living water, she says, "Give me this water always." When Jesus says to the crowds, "I am the bread from heaven, whoever eats of this bread will never hunger," they say, "Well, give us this bread always." Jesus is the true vine. His gifts are praiseworthy. He is the bread from heaven. His bread is praiseworthy. He is the living water. His water is praiseworthy. Everything that comes forth from Jesus is praiseworthy. It's unlike anything else that you can find in this world. So John, the beautiful thing about his gospel is that he weaves these things throughout his story. All the metaphors he brings up about Jesus, and one of these is that Jesus is the true vine. He is the perfect, praiseworthy wine. So John tells another story near the end of his gospel. He tells a story about how Jesus is there standing in an upper room. It's a momentous occasion. The disciples are enthusiastic. Joy is in the air. Suspended joy, perhaps. They're anxiously anticipating what's about to unfold. Little do they know that Jesus will be dead in 24 hours. He washes their feet. He gives them a new command to love one another. He celebrates the supper, and at some point in that night, he shares these words, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Then he says plainly, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, the fruits of Jesus are evident. We're actually told in the scriptures a list in Galatians. The fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of Jesus are love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. The world has these things too. The world has love. An unbelieving mother still loves her child. The world has faithfulness. An unbelieving surgeon still is faithful to remove a tumor from the brain. The world has these things too. And like all the other things of this world, it's either good or poor. There is good love and there's poor love. There's love for the St. Louis Cardinals and love for the Kansas City Royals. There's good joy, there's poor joy, there's good peace, there's poor peace. And the world loves to judge it. The world is constantly grading the fruit, constantly judging what's good and what's poor. The world loves judging the fruits of this world. Someone who builds a house for a homeless person is good compared to the one who just buys a meal for the homeless one. Or the single mother who raises three children and works five jobs in order to take care of her children and set them off for college. Well, that is good compared to a mother who just changes a diaper at 2 a.m. in the morning. The world loves to judge these sorts of fruits. Actually, this week, there was a picture that went viral on social media, a picture of a bunch of students right before prom. You may have seen it. They're gathered around a table in a restaurant, and they pray. And the picture was taken of them praying, and it went online. And you only have to look at the first five or six comments to see the judging and the grading. Some saw it as good fruit. Oh, look at these children, these high school students that give us faith in our teens. They are filled with respect and love, and they are gentle. And then other people judged it as poor fruit. Oh, these children aren't any different than the rest of the world. Just wait until they see, wait until after prom and watch what they do. See, the world, it's always grading and judging fruit. And before you know it, you start to look at your own fruit with the eyes of the world. You start judging your own deeds. Well, that was good, and what I did over here, that was poor, and so I need to keep doing what's good and even ascribe to the perfect, because you start to judge yourself through the eyes of the world. The fruits of Jesus are entirely different. See, the world has good fruit and it has poor fruit, but the fruits of Jesus are praiseworthy. His fruits, unlike anything else in this world. There's no better or more perfect fruit than that of Christ. There's no better or more perfect love than that of a Christian. Yeah, I said that right. There's no better or more perfect love than the love of a Christian, because there's no better or more perfect love than that of Jesus, and you are connected. He is the vine, and you are the branch. The love of Jesus is patient and kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or self-serving. It's not rude. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices in the truth, and it believes all things, and it hopes all things, and it endures all things, and his love never fails. You will not find that kind of love in the world. A love that rejoices in the truth and believes and bears and hopes and never fails. Only that kind of love is found in the good shepherd, the beautiful shepherd, the praiseworthy shepherd. And you, as a Christian, as a branch, when you walk into a room of unbelievers, they taste it. They see this kind of love and they wonder, where did that come from? If only they knew. Not from us, but from the true vine. It all comes from Jesus. You, the kind of hope, all the fruits of the Spirit. There's no better or more perfect peace than that of a Christian, because there's no better or more perfect peace than that of Christ, and you are connected. He is the vine and you are the branch. The peace that a Christian has is unlike anything else in this world. There's no better or more perfect kindness than that of a Christian, because there's no better or more perfect kindness than that of Jesus, and you are connected. He is the vine and you are the branch. The world has kindness. Gentle wave as you walk into the store. That's poor compared to the kindness of spending millions of dollars for a cause. That's considered good, or donating a large gift. But the kind of kindness that Jesus has is this mercy even for the worst of sinners. Not just for the people who are worthy, but especially for the people who are unworthy. The mercy he has even for his enemies, to love them. That's this praiseworthy fruit. Tasted nothing better out of this world. I got to have this kind of fruit. It is praiseworthy. And you may be wondering, well, that sounds wonderful, but I don't feel like a branch. That kind of love doesn't come out from me. Or that kind of mercy. In fact, you feel like you're barely hanging on to the vine. Or that you deserve to be cut off. Because that kind of praiseworthy fruit isn't evident in your life. Well, lift up your hearts. Jesus says, I am the vine. He is your source of life. And you're connected to the true vine, the crucified and risen Lord. And in him, even your small deeds, even the things that this world labels as poor or insignificant, in him, they are praiseworthy. He delights in the fruit, the small things, even changing a diaper at 2 a.m. Punching in and punching out at work, putting food on the table, doing the small things of this world. He praises his heavenly angels before the Father when you do small things that spread his fruit all over the world, throughout this church and in your families. He does not grade your fruit. There is no good fruit or poor fruit in Christ. Only praiseworthy fruit. Fruit that is judged solely on the certainty and the perfection of the vine. He is the one who is the source of our life. He is the vine. He is the word, and you are the branch. The one which the Holy Spirit gives and creates this fruit through you. The word is the one that does it all. Therefore, dear fellow branches in Jesus, remain in his word. That's the fear when we read this scripture. Whoever abides in me, well, what if I don't? How do I abide in Jesus? Well, he says, if you abide in me, my word abides in you. You abide in Jesus when you remain in his word, listening to his voice, hearing his word. Never leave his word. Nothing else is more important. His word is the source of your life. There's a lot of voices clamoring for your attention, a lot of words, a lot of images. You're bombarded every minute with more and more words. 1 hour a week simply will not suffice. Not to diminish the divine service, We're all in this together. All of Jesus' words here are plural. You all are the branches. You all must remain in my word. We are in this together, but the world will slowly choke life off from the branch, slowly choke you off the vine. So turn off the TV every once in a while. Turn off your phone for a day and open up your scriptures. Make it the most important thing to hear the word in your church as a body, in your families, and in your own personal life through personal devotions. So open up the scriptures and start reading. The Holy Spirit's always guiding you to the scriptures, guiding you through the scriptures. Is it any coincidence that the Ethiopian eunuch just happened to be reading the prophet Isaiah as Philip comes along by the Spirit? The Holy Spirit will always guide us in the words that we need to hear. Don't sever yourself from the word of God or the ones who are sent to proclaim that word to you. Never leave the vine by refusing to hear his clear word. Fight against all the voices of this world by abiding in the true words of Christ. For apart from him, you can do nothing. I am the vine, Jesus says, and you are the branches. Abide in me, and you will bear much praiseworthy fruit. Amen.